Today's gospel is, without a doubt, one of the more challenging passages of scripture on which to preach. And as always, I did a lot of reading, but it didn't get me very far. Because what on earth can we say about this proclamation from Jesus, which reads, "And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes." Any suggestions on exactly what that means? Huh? Any help here? No? So what do we do now? Well, what you're probably thinking is, how about you do your job and preach a sermon, right? And I will. But first, I wanted all of us here to see how difficult it can sometimes be when we are trying to figure out exactly what Scripture means. And it's difficult not because we lack intelligence or that we're lazy, and it's not because we don't have the proper resources. Instead, sometimes Scripture is simply confusing. It's full of contradictions and built-in theological challenges, and it's hard to tell what it's really supposed to mean. And clearly, this is one of those times. However, if you read this part of Luke's gospel and look into other resources, you would discover that we are not the only people who feel this way. And although different scholars tried very hard to reach some sort of logical explanation for this text, they practically had to twist themselves into a pretzel shape to do so. So it's possible that this particular story is so embedded in the cultural context of that time and place that it's only people in that time and place who could understand it. Besides which, anytime we have to twist Scripture and turn it every way in order to transform it into something we understand or agree with, we probably won't get it right anyway. So, all we might be able to say about verses 1 through 9 of this gospel is that we don't entirely understand it. Which is really okay, because sometimes it's the act of wrestling with Scripture that is important. And in doing so, we are reminded that not only do we not always have all the answers, but also that we don't really have to. Because the good news of Jesus Christ is neither a pass-fail course or a multiple-choice test. No, the good news is simply the good news, no matter what. So as much as we'd like to understand why Jesus said what he did, it's not a requirement for eternal life, but rather more like a pebble in our shoe that we'd like to sort out. So what approach might we take? Well, we could look at the fact that Jesus did not commend the dishonesty of the steward, but rather his shrewdness. This guy knew how to best work the system, and Jesus seemed to imply that the children of light, or his followers, might also benefit from dealing with the world in a shrewd or clever way. After all, what was at stake was the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, so surely believers could do their best to make sure of its continued presence. And although I'm not entirely satisfied with that particular interpretation, it makes more sense than most. And if we consider it in the light of what follows, we know that for Jesus, how people manage themselves and their belongings was important because it was a reflection of what they valued. So for the dishonest steward who valued money and security, he cleverly arranged his life to attain both. But for the followers of Jesus, faithfulness to the values which he taught, such as love, forgiveness, compassion, and mercy, were to be most important. And in ways both large and small, believers were to reflect his teachings and how they lived their lives. Whether they worked it out in a clever way or in a straightforward way didn't matter so much as their faithfulness, as well as a consistent consistent ethic of life that authentically lived out and shared the good news of Jesus Christ, which may mean for us that exactly how we live and share the gospel isn't as important as the fact that we do it, and then we behave accordingly. But then, the real kicker of this gospel, of course, comes at the very end, when Jesus said, "No slave can serve two masters. For slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Huh. So after all the confusion about that parable and wondering how that dishonest steward could be a role model for anybody, Jesus suddenly becomes very, very clear and says, pick one, God or money. Pick the one thing that will guide your life, inform your decisions, shape your heart, and feed your soul. Will it be God or will it be money? And then he makes it very clear that we can't fool ourselves into thinking that we can serve them both, because we can't. One or the other will win out, and we have to decide which one it'll be. So, in the long run, I believe we can draw three lessons from today's gospel. Number one, we can't always expect to understand Scripture, because sometimes we're just too far removed from that culture and its norms. But that's okay, as long as we continue to study it and to wrestle with it and be open to where the Holy Spirit might lead us as a result. Number two, being shrewd or clever does not necessarily equate to being dishonest. So perhaps we do need to be worldly when we deal with the world, as long as our behavior stays within the boundaries of Christian ethics and values. And number three, Jesus is very clear on our choice of who or what to serve, and the fact that we can only be true to one of them. So in the end, it boils down to this. Are we faithful in ways both large and small to Jesus Christ? And do our lives reflect his values, his teaching, and his love?